life right.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Tuesday to you, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs. You're listening to the Refresh radio broadcast from Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not know where our church is located, we are two blocks north of 520, two blocks west of Courtney Parkway. We are two blocks east of Tropical Trail, and we would just love to have you visit with us at some point in time. I thought I would share with you a few announcements. I think I failed to do this on yesterday's broadcast, but our vintage worship service will be resuming tomorrow at 11 a.m. Our boys and girls ministry resumes tomorrow night at 7 p.m. And we are back now to our regular scheduled events. Our Sunday nights are going to be our grow groups, our home groups will be meeting on the second and the fourth Sunday nights of the month. And then I do want to mention to you here at the end of the month, the last Sunday of January, I'll see if I can't get a date for you here on that just in a second here. But the last Sunday in January, which I believe is the 25th, if I'm not mistaken. Let me see. January the 25th is going to be a special healing emphasis service at Merritt Assembly of God. On that Sunday morning, we will be having a guest speaker with us that day. It is Armin Morales, the bass singer. He was with the Imperials for decades, back when Elvis Presley was singing. He was one of the singers that was behind him there on the stage. If you ever watch an Elvis Presley tribute, and you know what Armin Morales looks like, you can see him and Jim Murray and Sherman Andrus and one of the Blackwoods. You can see all of them up there singing behind them, and I think they still travel around and do some of those Elvis tribute concerts and all. But Armin Morales and his wife, I believe her name is Bonnie, they have both have experienced healing from cancer, and they both walked through two different processes, but they both have glorious testimonies to what God has done. And so they are going to be with us at the end of the month, January the 25th, in the morning service, 10:30, and we would love to invite you to come and be a part of that. We've had the Imperials with us a couple of times. We've had Armand once before, and he is going to be with us here again this month in January. Our Sundays are focused on four things. This last Sunday was focused on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We are also going to be focusing on January the 18th is going to be we're going to be emphasizing salvation. And so we're going to be asking you once again, like we did before, to begin praying now. If you know somebody that does not know Jesus, that you would begin to invite them to church, to pray for them, to look for opportunities to meet needs in their life. And we're going to be preaching salvation on the 18th of January. And then on January the 11th, this coming Sunday, I am going to be preaching on who Jesus says he is and what he says he is going to do. And I promise you, You won't want to miss that. If you were thankful for Christmas, you are really going to be thankful for this coming Sunday. And so if you can join us Sunday morning, January the 11th at 10:30, 9:30 for Sunday school, we'd be honored to have you. And on January the 18th, we're going to have special gifts for our visitors. And so if you would care to join us, we would love to have you for that. Today, I want to give a shout out to Advanced Christian Training Schools. I believe that today is the day that they are resuming their free video training school, their free video Bible school. Tuesday night, they meet in our fellowship hall. And if you have any more questions about that, you can call Ted or Linda at 633-0432, 633-0432. I'm going to start reading today from Romans chapter 6 and verse number 20. And it says, "For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death, but now having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." In chapter 7 it says, "Or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives." So let's just look at this for just a moment. And it says, "For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness." Most people have, an understanding that they are the ones that are in control of their impulses, that they have everything under control. I remember talking to a person one time, that had several DUIs. They had lost their ability to drive at that point in time. I am happy to report that God has completely changed their life and given them victory and liberty from the bondage that they had in their life of alcohol. But this person told me that said, "Pastor Bob, if I were to go to a bar after work," he said, "I could sit there and I could drink 12 or 13 beers." Now, I can't imagine drinking that much. I've got people in my family from when I was growing up that were in bondage to alcohol, and I'm sure they had developed the ability to drink to similar levels, but I just can't imagine that. I would feel like I'd be walking around sloshing from left to right, and in an inebriated condition, it wouldn't be hard for me to see somebody just passing completely out and, possibly even dying from drinking that much. But this person said, "If you were to ask me after I had sat there and drank the equivalent of two six-packs, if I were drunk, I would tell you no." And the blood alcohol test indicates otherwise, but a lot of times we have that same mindset. It may not be in alcohol, but it may be in other things. Some people, I know that when I was a teenager, that arcades, just regular arcades, pinball and video games and things like that, that I had the ability to become addicted to those things. I'll never forget, my parents brought us home a game system. One night we got a game, and I wasn't very good at that game, but I'm an extremely stubborn individual when it comes to competitive things. And I was determined to beat that game system. And I stayed up and I played it till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I played it so much that the next day my thumbs were sore. There's a reason. I mean, there are a lot of reasons why I stay away from things that are destructive to me physically. One of them is because I have a bit of an obsessive personality. When I work, I am really going to work. When I'm resting, I'm really going to rest. When I'm playing, I'm really going to play. But I have the recognize this in my personality that I can become addicted to things that the world might not think is too serious an addiction. So I am constantly looking at my life to make sure that there is nothing that has made me a slave to that. One of those things is I'm a bit of a news junkie. And so every once in a while, I say, you know what? I'm just going to lay that aside. I'm not going to go there. I may check it, once a day or whatever, but I don't want even the news. I would rather be a news maker than a news watcher. I want to be a history maker, not just a person who's aware of history. And so I want to ask you today, are there any areas in your life that are areas where the enemy is attempting to enslave you? Because guys can become enslaved to work. They can become enslaved to their sports. They can become enslaved. Listen, I'll just go ahead and deal with some of the really, touchy areas that people might not want to talk about. Men have a propensity to become addicted to pornography. And that was not something that you were ever meant to be addicted to. You were meant to focus on your Creator, not so much on the created things. Men, by their very nature, are visual creatures. And so things that we see, we tend not to forget very easily. And so it might seem innocent enough at first, but the Bible talks about there being an ever-increasing lust for more depravity, for more revelation, whatever it might be. And so today I want you to know that Jesus does not want you enslaved to that. He wants you to have dominion over that. He wants you to be set free from that so that your relationships are not one on base carnality, but instead that your relationships are built on a solid foundation of Jesus Christ. And there may be some people, well, it's out there for free. I'm not having to pay for it. It is not hurting anybody. This person was willing to do this to expose themselves. And, what difference does it make? And let me tell you what I believe that God's heart is. Has God given you permission for that? Because it was that situation that pretty much led to David becoming an adulterer, a murderer, experienced hardship, his nation experienced hardship, all because he saw somebody naked that he wasn't supposed to see naked. His family, his one son raped another daughter. Because of that, another son murdered that son. That son eventually rose up in rebellion against his dad and tried to overthrow him and made himself vile and disgusting in his father's eyes. Let me tell you something. There, when it comes to sin and the devil, there is always a greater price tag than what he initially will reveal to you. You might think it's free, and eventually down the road, there you come to find out that it wasn't free. I want you to understand that the devil's intention is to make you a slave to himself. He wants to have dominion over you. He wants to wake you up in the middle of the night, and whether it is whether it's pornography, whether it is alcohol or drugs or work or whatever, He wants to make that an area of bondage in your life. I want to declare to you today that he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Jesus did not come just to slow down the areas of your life that Satan would use to put you into bondage. He came to set you free from that sort of stuff so that you could experience the perfect law of liberty. You need freedom in your life, and Jesus came to bring you that freedom. If you look into verse number 21 of chapter 7, well, let me go up to chapter 7, verse number 4. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. And so right there, I want to point that out, that you used to be bound by things of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life. And the devil, he wants to do his best to keep you completely and totally bound. The less freedom that you have in your life, the more content that he is, because he wants to get you to a place of hopelessness. But I want to declare to you today the hope of glory, that no matter how bound you are, no matter how reinforced the stronghold may be, no matter how tight the security, I want to declare to you that even when Pilate made Jesus' tomb as secure as he could make it, I mean, I want you to know he put the highest security he could place around a dead man's tomb. And it was still insufficient for the King of Glory. So no matter how long you've been addicted, no matter how long you've been bound by a sin, maybe it's pride, maybe it is lying. Listen, there are people who are perpetual liars. Lying is their natural language. They have lied so much that they don't even recognize the truth. They just spout things out there, and there is no correlation to the facts at all. And I want you to know, no matter what it is that you are dealing with in your life, listen, it could be shopping. You know, I'll stop picking on the men and pick on the women here for just a little bit. There, you could be addicted to shopping. You could be addicted to your favorite hobby. You could be addicted to the internet. You could be addicted to Candy Crush or Game of War or whatever those other games are. I don't even know what the games are, but they're all designed to get you in. And listen, it will suck the life out of you, because it'll suck the time out of you. And if nothing else, what it will do is it will deprive you of time you could have been spending with God. It will deprive you of opportunities that you could have had to minister to other people. It will deprive you of being fruitful for the kingdom of God. And so Jesus comes so that we would have a newness in our spirit that it talks about there in Romans chapter 7:6, so that we would be able to serve with the comfort that we have received, that we might be able to minister comfort to those who are currently afflicted. Listen, if your relationship with God has deteriorated to just a bunch of ritualistic observations in your life. Okay, I've got to do this. I've got to do this. Allow God here at the beginning of the year to breathe newness of life into your spirit, restore to you the joy of your salvation. Realize that it is not a have-to situation. It is a get-to situation. It is a privileged place, not a place of bondage, so that we should serve in the newness of the spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Oldness of the letter. Verse number 7, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law, for I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. But sin, taking the opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire, for apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment, which was to bring life, I found to bring death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me. Therefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. So let me stop there for just a moment, because here's what sin will do to you. Once it has you in bondage, there is a minor prophet in the Old Testament named Hosea. Hosea married a wife. She was unfaithful to him. She went out and she pursued other lovers. And one day Hosea was walking by the auction blocks, and there was his wife. His wife's name was Gomer. I'm so thankful that my wife's not named Gomer. But there he saw Gomer, who was just a shell of her former self. She was no longer beautiful. Her lovers, who couldn't resist her earlier and she couldn't resist them, suddenly they had no use for her. And that's what this society will do to you. When you are bound by sin, it will use you, it will abuse you, it will use up all of your assets, it will leave you a former shell of yourself. If you know somebody who's addicted to crack or meth, I'm telling you that it will have devastating effects on your body. You may not even have to become an addict. There are people who tried drugs one time and that was all they got. They never got another opportunity to repent. One time and it killed them. It will steal your worth from you. But today I want you to know that God wants to restore your value. Hosea didn't walk by the auction blocks that day and point at Gomer and said, "See, I told you this was going to happen." But instead, he reached into his pocket and he paid the price for the woman who had broken his heart, for the woman who no longer was the beautiful mother of his children, but instead, she was sold to the highest bidder. And Hosea went up to her and said, "You are not to call me my master. You are to call me my husband." And so I want you to know today that no matter what has happened in your life, that at some point in time, you're going to realize, if you are living in sin, one day you're going to realize that when your looks are gone and you're no longer useful, and your liver may be shot and your health may be failing, that the devil is going to say, "I have no use for you. I've stolen everything I could." But I want you to know today that one greater than Hosea is walking by. One by the name of Jesus, who will reach into his pocket and not pull out money to pay, but he will just pull out a picture, if you will, reminding of what he did on the cross and that he did it for you. That he paid a price. He was the lamb that takes away the sin of the world. I want you to know today that forgiveness and restoration is available today. Not as a bond servant, not as a slave, but as a child of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. That is what is available today. And today I want you to know Jesus is there. He's got the money in his hand and he's wanting to know, will you let me redeem you? Will you let me restore you to what you were intended to be? And that was a covenant partner with me for all of eternity. This week I'm focusing on forgiveness of sins. If you know somebody who's bound in sin, today I want to ask you to join me in faith right now. Just this minute, what was quickened to my spirit was the four people who lowered that paralyzed man into the presence of Jesus, and he was healed and his sins were forgiven. Today I want to ask you, will you join me in bringing people who are trapped in sin's snare? Would you join me in bringing them to the presence of Jesus right now? Heavenly Father, I just pray right now that those that we know, Lord, there are some who are trapped in sexual sin. There are some who may be listening now that are trapped by alcohol, trapped by drugs. Some may be listening, and Lord, they're trapped by work or trapped by their hobbies. Lord, today there may be some that are trapped by complacency. Some, Lord, do not even realize that you exist. But Lord, today I join together with my brothers and sisters in Christ through the radio waves. And Lord, we bring them into your presence right now. And God, we ask that you would touch their hearts, that you would open their eyes, that you would let them see the reality of their condition. Lord, like the prodigal son, Lord, may they come to their right mind and recognize that what they had with Jesus was better than what they have right now. Lord, that you treat your children, that you treat your servants well. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus that the Spirit of the living God would be moved here in Brevard County in 2015, that you would breathe revival into this community. Lord, that there would be names that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, people forgiven from sin. Lord, that there would be people restored to relationship with you, restored to purpose with you, restored to beauty, restored to value. God, we thank you for your refreshing touch. We want to thank you for listening today. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m., and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."